We're gathered together today to celebrate to honor and recognize Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday is the gate. It's the door that leads us into the practice of Lent. It's the first day. It's the time for us to start. What it is will continue for the next 40 days, not counting Sundays. Ash Wednesday has always been a fun time for me, a day that I enjoy because I tend more towards the morose side of life, and Ash Wednesday definitely has its helping of moroseness, but it's always done in the attitude of knowing that God loves us in the midst of that. But as we reflect upon our lives and who we are and our need for God, Christ hugs us during that time. So let us recognize Ash Wednesday together. Please receive now this prayer. O God, maker of everything, and judge of all that you have made, from the dust of the earth you have formed us, and from the dust of death you would raise us up. By the redemptive power of the cross, create in us clean hearts, and put within us a new spirit, that we may repent of our sins and lead lives worthy of your calling. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all of God's people said, Amen. Our first scripture today is from the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 1 to 2, and then 12 to 17. Listen now to God's word. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness like blackness spread upon the mountains. A great and powerful army comes, their like has never been from of old, nor will be again after them in ages to come. Fire devours. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people. Sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the children, even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples? Where is their God? It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Joel chapter 2 is pretty traditional this time of year. It pops up in the lectionary almost every time. And the reason for it is because Easter or Good Friday and Ash Wednesday and Lent tend to be dark times. Dark in that one of the ideas that we do during Lent is that it's a twofold theme. Let's see here. It talks about us as we confront our own mortality and confess our sins before God. The thing is we don't like to confront our own mortality and think about our own death. Nor do we like to dive into our own hearts and confess the things that exist there. We all know that we have dark places in our hearts, but we just like to push it to the corner. I think about it very often and kind of let it go. But Ash Wednesday and Lent is a time to bring those things to the surface, to allow them to bubble up, and then to let them go. Ash Wednesday is a time for us to realize just how in the dark we are sometimes. The glory, though, of this scripture that we read in Joel is in the the next part, it says, yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart. Thing is, no matter how dark our hearts are, no matter how far we feel away from God, God still desires us for us to know God, to draw closer to God. That there's no part of us that God doesn't want, but God wants all of who we are. God desires us by God's side, and so we have this opportunity for Lent to do just that, to give up those things in our lives, to let go of them and give them over to God, to Jesus, who shows us what it means to love. So I ask you for the next few moments to reflect in silence on what it is that you need to give up. Where are those dark places in your heart that you need God's light to shine on? How is it in our lives that we can draw closer to God? And where is God calling us to change? Take a few moments and pray and reflect upon that. The next scripture is from the book of Psalm, chapter 51. Many of you may already be familiar with this. It's one of the more well-known psalms. It's a psalm of David after the prophet Nathanael came to speak with him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Psalm 51, 1 to 17. Hear now again God's word. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. Desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me in a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God. O God, in my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Psalm 51 has always been close to my heart. I love this scripture. It speaks of one confessing freely their heart and their life before God. David, who's such a big person in the Bible, who is said of him, he has a man after God's own heart, and also known as a friend of God. David. As much as David loved God, and with the emotional passion that he loved God with, the strength of which he loved God, he also sinned mightily, committing adultery and also murdering the husband of the woman he slept with. As to being a father, he wasn't really one at all. Didn't take care of his children, turned a blind eye to the atrocities that they committed with one another. And in his later age, not trusting in God's strength and anymore. But all through those times, God never gave up on David, nor did David give up on God or himself. Nathanael comes and brings David's sin before him. David falls down on his knees and prays this prayer. The neat thing about this prayer is it shows the importance of confession within the lives of us. Confession is not something that we talk a lot about here in the Protestant church. When we think of confession, we think of Catholic church. They do confession. Got the booths that you sit in and you spill your sins and your shortcomings before the priest. As Protestants looking at the act of confession in the Catholic Church, we don't always have a favorable opinion of it. You know, does it mean anything? You confess to beating your wife or murdering someone or something equally as terrible, and then you go to the booth and the priest says, you know, a couple of Our Fathers, some Hail Marys, and you're forgiven. That's a caricature. But of course, it's not confession. And confession is extremely important. Confession is a time for us to take those sins within our lives, as they do in Catholic Church, and let go of them. Give them over to God, help share them with our loved ones, with those who are close to us, those whom we trust. When you bury those things deep and you don't let them go, they fester. They ruin our lives and then the lives of others. Confession is a chance to let those things come up to the surface and allow God to take them. Ash Wednesday and Lent is about confession. Taking our sins and letting go of them. Looking at ourselves with open, honest eyes and saying, this is what I need to let go of. And bringing someone close in our lives to help us do that. And the joy of confession is that it's not just for us. Seeking repentance in our lives and having forgiveness in our lives is not just for, it doesn't just affect our hearts, it does. But it also affects those around us. In our scripture that where David said, he said, restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then he says in verse 13, then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. Those who are forgiven most often are those who serve with great passion. Those who confess and find love are those who then live a life of love. David was so adamant about giving his heart over to God, not so that he would just feel better himself, but so that he then could serve others better. Confession is not just an individual matter. It's a matter of the community. It helps us to serve better. Ash Wednesday is just the beginning of Lent so that we may confess our sins to God, so that we may serve one another all the more. Our next scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20b to 610. Here again, God's Word. We entreat you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time, I have listened to you. And on a day of salvation, I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance and afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see, we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. 2 Corinthians, the scripture we just read, is a great illustration to what we talked about in Psalm 51. David asking for forgiveness so that he may serve. Paul embodies that. You see, we all know Paul's background, that Paul was a Pharisee and amongst the best, and he persecuted the early Christian church, doing his best, giving his all in that endeavor. Put many in prison, killed some, or at least helped to. Paul thought he was doing the right thing, and then on his way to Damascus, Jesus appeared to him before the road and said, Paul, you know you're wrong, and I want to show you the right way, and I want you to serve me. Paul, feeling that forgiveness in his life, understanding that though he was persecuting Jesus himself embraced him, loved him. And Paul's life changed. And as strongly as he persecuted the church, he, all that and more, served the church, giving his entire life, all these things that he's been through, naming them off one by one by one. Paul wanted people to experience what he experienced. Recognize that what he had was not just for him, but for him to share with others. That great Old Testament scripture that says about Abraham that God blessed him to be a blessing. And then that's our lot too. That during Ash Wednesday and Lent, as we confess and give ourselves to God and God forgives us, that forgiveness is not just to stop with us, but a desire to give it over to others. And God's not like, you know, this is what I want you to do, but I'm unwilling to do it myself. In our scripture that we just read in the verse 5 part, it says, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God desires us. Yet before God did that, God gave us himself. Showing just how deeply that love is. Helping us to see it clearly, to know what it looks like and to know how to live it. Ash Wednesday might be difficult in that we have to see the darkness of our heart. But God embraces us through that we may give freely of who we are, but God takes it. And that is such a great joy. Let us reflect on how it is that we can continue to serve God and what it is that God has done for you through Jesus Christ. Our final scripture today is from Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 to 6, and again 16 to 21. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal, like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Part of the practice that we have during Lent is fasting. Fasting is one of those things that when we do, there's purpose to it other than just giving up food. But I've got to say, as Protestants, we don't do fasting a whole lot, nor do I think we do fasting very well. When I think about people who do fasting very well, comes to mind is the Muslims. Ramadan's coming up. Anyone know Ramadan? You heard Ramadan? Ramadan is the Muslim time of fasting and prayer. It runs about a month, I think. And I think it's going to start in either the end of March or beginning of April. Mahanan's going to do it. And their fasting is to give up eating from sunrise to sunset. Not a single piece of food passes through their lips during that time. Not only that, but not a single drink, water included, passes through their lips during that time. Fasting. Real fasting. When Christians fast during Lent, again, this is a caricature. Oftentimes what we do is we Ash Wednesday Fat Tuesday, and again it's called Fat Tuesday because you get fat on that day so that fasting's easier after that. But when we think about what to give up, we give up things oftentimes like chocolate. We say, I'm not going to have chocolate. Or we try to give up things that will fit our diet. And we call it fasting, but it's not really fasting, it's dieting. The difference between fasting and dieting is, what are you trying to improve? The physical or the spiritual? Fasting is a spiritual exercise. When you fast, you give up those things that are necessary for you. Because what you're doing in your fasting is you're saying, Lord, you are more necessary than anything else. That when we skip that meal as part of our fasting or whatever it is that we end up giving up and our body yearns for it, our spirit can say, Lord, thank you. For you are all that I need. I don't need this more than I need you. Fasting isn't there to help us break a bad habit, but it's there to help us draw closer to God. It's not there to help us quit biting our nails. It's there for us to rely upon God on all things. Relying upon God may have you quit biting your nails. However, fasting is about God first. I'm not telling you how to fast. I'm not telling you what to fast. Whatever it is that God lays on your heart to do so, do it not for yourself, but do it for God. That we may draw closer to God, and it's not for people to say, hey, congratulations. It's for God to say, thank you. Thank you for seeking me before those other things that you desire. Thank you for drawing closer to me when you could be doing other things. Fasting is such an integral part of our Ash Wednesday and Lent that I pray that we think about it with seriousness and ask God where it is we can go during this Lenten season. Now receive this invitation to the observance of Lenten discipline. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the early Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's Passion and Resurrection. And it became the custom of the church that before the Easter celebration, there should be a 40-day season of spiritual preparation. During this season, converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when persons who had committed serious sins and had separated themselves from the community of faith were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness, and restored to participation in the life of the church. In this way, the whole congregation was reminded of the mercy and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the need we all have to renew our faith. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the church, to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word, to make a right beginning of repentance and as a mark of our mortal nature. Let us now bow our hearts before our Creator and Redeemer and give ourselves over to God at this time. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence, so that we may remember that only by your gracious gift we are given everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Remember, may the Almighty and merciful God, who desires not the death of a sinner, but that we turn from wickedness and live, accept your repentance, forgive your sins, and restore you by the Holy Spirit to newness of life. Amen and amen. Through the love of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Before we end, I understand that silence isn't always very easy to come by. There's a study done, I know I shared this with you at some point, about the moment of silence that most churches have after their prayer, that most pastors hold only 15 seconds of silence because that's all they can take before they have to say something. Pastors do enjoy talking, so maybe that has something to do with it. Mohanad and I have to get him at Greensburg Central Catholic, and sometimes on our way back home, I don't talk, but if I don't talk for too long, he starts whistling. It's just the understanding of sitting in silence is difficult for us. We fill it with TV, we fill it with radio, we fill it with any sort of distractions that we can find. Silence can be difficult. So I had these. This is a suggestion from a friend of mine. Tea lights. Pick a day of the week, whatever is good for you. Wednesday, once a week though. Take your little tea light and light it. Sit in silent meditation prayer to God. Wait until the wax on the top of it becomes all liquid. Just the on top, not the whole thing. Just the wax on top. Pray to God. Give to God your time, your energy. Talk to God about your day. When you know that you're forgiven, pray then for others. Pray for Ukraine, Russia. Pray for your friends, your family. Pray for that person that cut you off in traffic. Pray for your president. For those in the political field. Pray for our nation, for our community. Let the mind wander towards God. Don't say anything. Just open up your heart and listen. I give you two because I'm not sure how long one's going to last, if it'll last six weeks, you know, just one time a week. They're in the back. Please take them before you leave. For those of you who are at home, we will have these at church during Lent, and we will try and get them to you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity of prayer with one another, for this chance to reflect on your generous and gracious love. Lord, we thank you for this day in which we can seek once again to draw closer to you. And we pray that we journey together during Lent, encouraging one another, listening to one another, being the shoulder, if necessary, to lean on, the ear to be talked to. Help us to encourage one another as you have encouraged us, to love one another as you have loved us, to shine your light as you have shined your light for us. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Go in peace.